Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Honey, I remember the first time the Holy Spirit revealed to me that fear is the devil's anointing. I think my response was profound. I think I said something like, wow. Well, today we want you to write the following statement where you can see it, remember it, believe it, confess it, until it's manifested in your life. Here's the statement. Fear is the devil's anointing, but I rebuke it has a place in Paul's life, personalized. Fear is the devil's anointing, but I rebuke it. I rebuke that it has a place in Joy's life. Personalize it.
Amen.
One more. Fear is the devil's anointing, but I rebuke that it has a place in Jonathan's life. Make no mistake about it. The enemy will continually try to bring fear into our mental thought processes. That's what he wants to do. Have you ever known anyone who was a prisoner of war? I've had the honor of getting to know some very brave men who were taken captive by the enemy and endured the horrors of being a prisoner of war. These men will tell you that the enemy creates an environment for brainwashing. The enemy tries to break down their resistance by feeding them a consistent diet of hopelessness and fear. The enemy controls the interrogation process with just one objective: break the captive's will to live so that they will abandon their sense of righting wrong. The devil, well, the devil would like nothing better than to make each of us mental prisoners of war. He tries to create an atmosphere of panic and uncertainty. Then he'll bring negative thoughts into our mind, trying to make us feel that we have no way of escape. He wants to replace our faith with fear, our determination with his doubt, our past with his future for us. The enemy of our success, our anointing, wants fear in our lives. He understands that we were born with two fears, falling and loud noises, all other fears are required. Often deeply embedded within us, fear results from past failures, from a lack of confidence. A lack of confidence bred unknowingly by parents or relatives, and is enforced by society's general negative, short-sighted thinking. Your loving Heavenly Father understands the strategies of the enemy. He knows that if the enemy has you living in fear, that he can destroy the anointing on your life. God wants us to understand that fear is not of him. We've asked this question before. How many times does God have to tell us something for us to believe it? Truthfully, one should be enough. Would it be fair to say that if God wants us to really get something, it'll say more than once? As we've pointed out before, in the King James Version of the Bible, we're told 9 times that we should be born again. So I think it's fair to say that being born again is significant and obviously important to God. After all, he paid the ultimate price by sending his only begotten Son, that we should not perish, but have everlasting an abundant life by being born again. We pointed out before that fear not is in the King James Bible 63 times. We're going to look at several of those verses and let this kind of get inside you. First, God wants us to eliminate all fear of failure.
Joshua 8:1 says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed, Take all the people of war with thee and arise, go up.
Max Lucado, an amazing pastor and author, offered three powerful words on eliminating fear. He said, faith overcomes fear. Faith overcomes fear.
Second, God wants us to know that He is our salvation, so we have no reason to be fearful or afraid. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Third, God doesn't want us worried or fearful about what may happen tomorrow. Romans 8:32, New Living Translation. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor our fears for today, or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Did you hear that? Neither the fears for today or the worries about tomorrow can keep God's love from us. His promises for us and His anointing for us. See, the enemy wants to keep it from manifesting in our lives. But because God is faithful to perform all that He's promised us, we will receive from God. I think it's important to get Matthew 6:34 in the Message Bible down in your spirit. It says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard times come up when the time comes.
Fourth, God is your helper, so there is no need to fear. Hebrews 13:5-6 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Hebrews 13, starting with verse 5 and ending with 6. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?
Fifth, fear will flee when God takes you by the hand. Pastor Rick Warren said, fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends you to be. You must move against it with the weapons of faith and love. Isaiah 41:9-10. Isaiah 41:9-10 in the Message Bible. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. Keep a firm grip on you.
Sixth, God is fighting against your enemies with you so that you have no reason to fear. Deuteronomy 20:1. Deuteronomy 20:1 in the Message Bible, it says, in a few minutes you're going to do battle with your enemies. Don't waver in resolve. Don't fear. Don't hesitate. Don't panic. God, your God, is right there with you, fighting with you against your enemies, fighting to win.
Honey, you got some great scriptures lined up. Go ahead. Go on through them.
In Exodus 23:22. Exodus 23:22. It says, but if you will indeed listen to and obey His voice, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. What a promise. But that is the promise of Father God.
Amen.
Romans 8:31. Oh, one of my favorites. Romans 8:31, Classic Amplified Bible. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? And you have to love Psalm 118:6 in the Message Bible. Psalm 118:6 says, God's now on my side and I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me?
Hallelujah.
And Hebrews.
You like this one?
Hebrews 13:6. Hebrews 13, verse 6 in the Classic Amplified Bible. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confident and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?
Can everybody say hallelujah?
He is
seventh.
Good.
He is good. Seventh, you have no reason to be afraid because of the anointing that's living within you. You have the Holy Spirit teaching you how to manifest the anointing in your daily life.
John 14, verses 26 and 27. St. John 14, verses 26 and 27 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, but the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Don't you love it when the Lord brings to your remembrance something
Amen.
That you needed right at the time when you need it?
Amen.
It continues, peace I leave with you, my own peace now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled.
God not only teaches us, but he has embedded Christ's anointing deeply within us.
Mm. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 26, 1 John 2, verse 26 in the Message Bible, it says, I've written to warn you about those things about those who are trying to deceive you. But they are no match for what is embedded deeply within you, Christ's anointing, no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching. Christ's anointing teaches you the truth on everything you need to know about yourself and him. Uncontaminated by a single lie, live deeply in what you were taught.
We trust that you fully comprehend what this scripture is saying to you, to each of us. We have the anointing of Christ deep inside us. The verse also says, live deeply in what you were taught. One more thing. We cannot coexist with sin. Neither can we fear. Neither can we have fear and the anointing living in the same house. The way we think, speak, and act will either reflect fear or the anointing, but not both. Think about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know we're almost out of time, but I came across this quote by Francis, Pastor Francis Frangipane, an amazing author.
Amazing guy.
Man of God.
Yes, he is.
He said, beloved, I say, let your fears go, lest they make you faint-hearted. Stop inspiring fear in those around you. And now take your stand in faith. God has been good, and he will continue to manifest his goodness. Let us approach these days expecting to see the goodness of the Lord manifest. Let us be strong and of good courage, for the Lord will fight for us if we stand in faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. Hallelujah. Go to haroldherring.com, check out this week's 2-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we'll ever ask of you. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.